Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 specifically. I want to read just a portion of chapter 3, actually beginning in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Well, there's much we could preach on in that passage, as in all passages of the Scripture. This is quite a picture, isn't it, of the church? Something we should be seeking after. But I want to just address one thing, and it's this. You'll find it in verse 15, be ye thankful. Now, there are many graces which ought to be manifested in the Christian's life. Many graces which God does implant in us and which we must cultivate. But we certainly must include this, to be a thankful people. And be ye thankful. The meaning is obvious, isn't it? That those of us who are in Christ should be full of gratitude toward God. And if gratitude toward God and to God, then also thanksgiving to God. Now, to be thankful to God is to truly realize and to deeply appreciate from the heart the benefits and the blessings received, which are all by his free grace and out of his mercy and love. To be thankful is to have a heart full of thanks. And then thanksgiving, of which the Scriptures speak so much, is the active giving of thanks to God. It's a worship which flows from a thankful heart. And be ye thankful. In Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, as he opens up his treatise on justification, he shows that all men are justly condemned, even those who have never had access to the Scriptures and have never heard the gospel. The apostle goes on to speak about the natural man, beginning by describing the natural man's response to what God has revealed of himself through the creation, and why that response leaves all sinners without excuse, even if they've never heard the gospel or read the Scriptures. Romans 1, I'm going to read 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, the revelation they do have of God, they hold that in unrighteousness. They take that revelation and they pervert it. Instead of giving him thanks and worshiping him and seeking after him, they pervert it. They make their own gods. They write off the creation as as the result of time and chance, or they ascribe it to some ridiculous gods and say, well, there's where it came from, by some foolish, ridiculous way, who hold the truth and unrighteousness, that revelation they do have of God, which is not sufficient to save them, but sufficient to condemn them. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. They're without excuse in, you might say, what they do with this knowledge, in how they hold it in unrighteousness. And now begins the indictment. Because that when they knew God, or I might say continues the indictment, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Neither were thankful. This is the mark and character of the heathen then. They are not thankful to God for all he's done for them. Even though the creation speaks so loudly of God's eternal power and Godhead, the heathen do not seek after the true God, but they, as I said, attribute it to time and chance, or to some false gods and some ridiculous contrived tale. Neither were thankful. This describes the heathen. But how much more do we who are in Christ have to be thankful for when compared to the heathen? Yes, yes, we live in that same creation. But we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We've experienced the power of God working in our hearts. We have so much to be thankful for. We can begin, of course, by being thankful to the Father, who had mercy on us and sent his only begotten Son to redeem us so we might be justified and sanctified and born again and adopted as sons of God. Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, and we know that it is the Holy Spirit revealing truth by the apostle, speaking of Christians, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we can begin by thanking the Father for the gift of his Son. And of course, we owe unceasing thanks to the Son of God, Christ Jesus, for condescending to be made of a woman made under the law, to be our covenant head and our vicarious substitute, to have our filthy sins loaded upon him and to own them as his, and so to suffer such agony in his soul and his body to propitiate the sins that we committed, to pay the debt that we owed to the law, to save us from the wrath of God, to save us soul and body from hell, and to bring us into his everlasting kingdom of light and life, and then to ever live as our high priest, our prophet, and our king. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be full of thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for his work. The Holy Spirit by whom Christ comforts us after first the Spirit quickening us to life, of course, convicting us of our sins and working faith and life in us, and then by whom Christ comforts us in all our afflictions, strengthens us in all our trials, reassures us in all our tribulations, teaches us from the scriptures, guards us from errors, ministers spiritual gifts and graces to us, guards our souls and preserves them. The psalmist says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." The heathen aren't thankful. The scriptures tell us, "And be ye thankful." We should be full of thanks to God, also for his preserved word, without which we wouldn't know his nature. We wouldn't know his will. We wouldn't know his many precious promises in Christ. We wouldn't know the way of salvation through faith in Christ. There's so much we wouldn't know that's so vital to know. All the ways of life and truth. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have so much to be thankful for, starting with that, and we should be full of thanks to the Lord for his tender mercy and his love, for his forgiveness, for his kindness, for his goodness, for his protection, for his provision, for his promises, for his deliverance, for his redemption, for our preservation, for the resurrection of our bodies, for the life everlasting, for all the good things he's given us also that pertain to this life, and all the spiritual blessings and benefits which are more vital and much more important yet. And it's all of free grace. We ought to be a very thankful people, shouldn't we? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:11. There is a direct application, of course, to a situation there in Corinth, but I think I can safely use this in a broader sense in the immediate context. He speaks of being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. All the things we have, we've been enriched to all bountifulness so many ways, and we ought to then be giving thanksgiving to God. I don't know of any people on the face of the earth that have been given more than Christians today here in America in the 21st century. We could be given much more. We can be a hard-hearted people. We need revival. We pray for a great outpouring of the Spirit. But we've been given so much. And be ye thankful. It's the way of the heathen to be unthankful. It's also the way of the ungodly who have heard the word of truth and profess to believe it. Turn to 2 Timothy. We spoke of those heathen who have not heard the scriptures. They're without excuse because they don't glorify God. They don't give thanks to God, and they hold the truth and unrighteousness that they do have through his creation, the revelation through his creation. But then there's those in 2 Timothy 3. We'll read 1 through 5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." A form of godliness. I fear many of these things we've just read about, they've crept into the church, perhaps in a little milder form, but I say they're coming into the evangelical church in many ways. And it begins with lovers of their own selves. But did you note? Unthankful. You can almost lose it in there when you start reading these things about people blaspheming and being covetous and boasting and proud, but unthankful. Unthankful, unholy. Our text says, "And be ye thankful. I want to speak a bit on that, make some points regarding being thankful. The first point I would make is this: true faith begets thankfulness. Now, faith, that is true justifying faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If by grace through faith we've rested and trusted wholly in Christ, and by faith we have the substance and the evidence of all those things promised to the children of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, then why would we not be a thankful people? If you have the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen in your heart, why would we not be then? Why would you not be? Why would I not be very thankful for these things? I don't know how it could be any other way. Why would we not be a people with hearts filled with thanksgiving to God? Thankful hearts. More and more so. I can't see how it can be otherwise. And so thankfulness to the Lord naturally flows from true faith. And as we increase in spiritual maturity, we always will see in ourselves and as others increase in spiritual maturity, an increase in thankfulness and thanksgiving. We will see it. And I will tell you, thankful is as thankful does. Now, Paul speaks of this, that we are rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught. I hope this describes many of us. And then he says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's so much to be thankful for if you've been rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. So we need to ask ourselves with regard to the matter of faith and thankfulness. Is this us? If we have true faith, then this should naturally flow from it, that we would have thankful hearts. How is it with us? What sort of witness are we in this regard to our children and our grandchildren and new Christians and unbelievers? And be ye thankful. My second point is this: true thankfulness is given vent and given voice in thanksgiving by prayer and certainly also in worship. Thanksgiving is worship. Worship from a thankful heart. Worship from a grateful people. Worship from a faithful, believing, grateful people. Those who are thankful willingly and readily offer up thanksgiving and worship and prayer. Can a people who have to be regularly urged to lift up their voices to worship the Lord truly be a thankful people? I cannot see how that could be, since to be unthankful is the mark and character of both heathenism and false Christianity. The psalmist says in 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And then again in Psalm 100, the verses 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Right here, Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, to the Lord. A thankful people, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 13. You can turn there if you like. A little bit longer passage. 12 through 15 are the verses. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him, therefore, who went without the gate and suffered the wrath of God, the enmity of men, suffered in ways that we can't imagine, suffered in his soul the wrath of God poured out against us till he propitiated it, suffered and died. And then it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And be ye thankful. My third point, those who are truly thankful for the mercy and grace of God desire to magnify and glorify the Lord in worship, in word, and deed. Closely related to the first point, of course, but I'm saying in everything we do, in everything we do, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In everything we do, because we're thankful to God, because we have true faith, and from that flows this gratitude, we desire then to magnify and glorify the Lord. It's the condemnation of the heathen that they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. This is our first duty, to glorify God. God forbid that one professing Christ would more resemble a heathen than a Christian in that sense. We have to begin to question, does that one know Christ? Some people get uncomfortable with such questioning. Well, what then? What then? Is it better just to let people go off to hell? No, we're not to make harsh judgments of one another. But when we see just a constant pattern in someone's life, we ought to be concerned. I didn't say we could automatically say, he's going to hell, he's not, he is, he's going to heaven. I didn't say that. I said, but we get concerned. We get concerned for them. And if we are truly thankful, then we'll want to magnify and glorify the Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you seen that glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Those who have by faith seen Christ are then a thankful people. How could it be any other way? And those who are thankful to God always desire to glorify and magnify him, increasingly so as they mature in the faith. 2 Corinthians 4, the verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. All that Christ hath done and suffered and secured are for your sakes. You, the body of Christ, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It is just natural, if you will. I'm not using that in the sense of a natural man, but I'm saying it just flows from faith. It just flows from faith and thanksgiving, a desire then to magnify and glorify the Lord. I will praise the name of God with song, Psalm 69, verse 30, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And be ye thankful. My fourth point. Those who are truly thankful will have a desire to speak of the wonderful workings of the Lord throughout history, throughout the world, throughout the church, throughout their lives. And this certainly should be true on the Lord's Day among the Lord's people. These are closely related points, but they're all important. David says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. He speaks first of being right with God. And then he goes on to say that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. See what the Lord has done for me. Psalm 75, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For thy name is near. Thy wondrous works declare. Thy name is near. meaning is that comprehends God's presence, his love, his mercy, his wisdom, his power. Thy name is near. Thy wondrous works declare. Our hearts say, amen, if we're in Christ. He is near. I will never leave or forsake thee. He's an ever-present help. His wondrous works declare that he is near. Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The psalmist says over and over and over again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If we're truly thankful, we desire to do this. We desire to speak of the wonderful workings of the Lord. And be ye thankful. My fifth point. Speaking of spiritual things now. Of course, we're thankful for all things, aren't we? But speaking of spiritual things, those who are truly thankful for the gracious gifts of God are satisfied and more with those holy things. I say they are satisfied, they are delighted. These things delight their souls. They'll treasure these things, these holy heavenly things, that they'll seek to contend for and defend the precious gifts of God. You know, a man is willing to defend that which is precious to him. A man will certainly defend his family. A man will defend his liberty. A man will defend his property even. Christian men and women ought to have a great concern for heavenly holy things. They should treasure and defend them. Faithful, thankful Christians don't go about like spoiled, ungrateful children, presuming to improve on the immutably holy and perfect. What I'm referring to are those ungrateful, unthankful children of God, or so they say, who think, for instance, that the gospel as we have it in Christ and in the scriptures is not good enough. Thanks very much for that, Lord, but we need to improve on it. We appreciate it insofar as we've received it in thy scriptures, but now stand back. We'll take it from here. We'll make it a little more effectual, much more effectual, by adorning it with world-pleasing phraseology and various devices. Thanks also, Lord, for those doctrines of Christ, those wonderful, precious doctrines we have, such as justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by the power of God alone, for his glory alone. Thanks so much for that, those doctrines, but we need to garnish them up a bit with some flesh-pleasing CCM or some quote, reformed, unquote, rap or hip-hop, along with some good words and fair speeches from some conference-mongering, self-promoting, oily celebrity preachers who pose no threat to our sense of freedom. They pose no threat of accountability to us. And the New Testament church, what a wonderful gift. And all that the scriptures reveal pertaining to her ministers and people, her government, her ordinances, her form and her function. Very nice gift indeed. These people don't say it this way, but they live it this way. Very nice gift indeed. But again, we have some ideas how to customize her a bit, how to make her different and better. All it takes is a little ignoring or resting of the scriptures. And as for searching the scriptures to see what our duty is as members of that church, well, that's something that we don't really take too seriously. And then there is thine own inspired revealed word. Very nice, very nice. Nice gift. Appreciate it. But that formal and verbal equivalent translation from the traditional text, which thou hast so obviously given and preserved, that translation painstakingly translated by 50 godly learned men and faithful right down to the personal pronoun forms, that English Bible, which has stood the test of 400 years and is the Bible of every single great revival in the English-speaking world for those 400 years, well and good. Nice. Thanks very much. But we want something different. We want something we think is better. Even if it takes away from thy glory, even if it is blasphemous, even if it strengthens the hand of the devil. But thanks very much for the Bible. That's the way it is. But those who are not thankful, and we could go on to other holy things, that's the way it is. Thanks very much for that gift, Lord. Thanks very much. I can improve on it. That is not the way of the thankful, faithful Christian. And be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. That's not being thankful. That's not being faithful. And if men treat men like that and children treat parents like that, it's seen as something that is not being thankful. But many treat God that way. My sixth point. Thankfulness provokes not only to worship, but to service, to good works. Talking about good works. I talked earlier about glorifying God in everything we do, but I'm talking specifically about good works. The ministry of the church, for instance. Thankfulness provokes to good works. This is a self-evident truth, or it should be. As we meditate on all we've been given, don't we want to serve this God? Don't we want to glorify Him? Don't we want to be His servants and show forth His truth and His light and His righteousness and His goodness and strengthen His church? It's just a self-evident truth. And all through the scriptures, this is borne out in the lives of God's people. Consider those in the scriptures who faithfully offer up thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. They also faithfully serve Him, don't they? David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He comes to mind, doesn't he? He had such a heart after God and a zeal to match that heart. A true Christian comprehends by faith from the Word of God, confirmed in his heart and life, what the Lord has done for him, and more so the longer he lives. And so this provokes true gratitude in the heart and a deep desire to follow and serve the Lord. It's even so with people. Those who have done much for you, you want to do something for them, don't you? I don't know. It's an age where many are spoiled, aren't they? They take so much for granted. They're raised up as spoiled little children, and they take so much for granted. They're not taught to be grateful. God help us to be grateful and thankful for all He's done. My little children, the Apostle John writes, 1 John 3, the verse 18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And be ye thankful. Thankfulness promotes peace in the heart. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thankfulness, all we've been talking about, promotes peace in the heart. I'm speaking specifically about peace. All of these graces, of course, all promote peace. A well-being, a health of our soul. And they all depend on each other, so to speak, in these matters. The exhortation is in what I just read there to, of course, prayer and supplication, but in faith. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Jesus told us, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So we come to God knowing, if we're his children, that he loves us. We come in faith. We come praying for that which we, insofar as we can see, is for our good and his glory. But you did note, he says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, we pray in faith. A remembrance of mercies received strengthens faith in mercies requested. And those who are habitually thankful to the Lord from the heart have this principle ingrained in their heart. To be thankful is to be deeply conscious of the Lord's love and mercy and grace and power and faithfulness. And surely this stands the Christian then, doesn't it, in good stead during times of trial and tribulation and suffering and sorrow and death. If we have this principle in our hearts, this thankfulness, if our hearts are indeed overflowing with thanksgiving toward God. The peace of God which passeth understanding. What a wonderful thing to possess. And be ye thankful. A thankful heart and spirit is a spiritual adornment to the church, and it strengthens her. I say, Christians who are thankful are adornments to the church, and they strengthen her. Isaiah 51, verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Here's a picture of the church in all her glory. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. In a revived church, of course, all of these things will be found in abundance. So, a thankful heart, a thankful spirit, thankful Christians are adornments to the church. They make her more beautiful. And be ye thankful. I've spoken of the thankfulness we ought to have toward God. It's one of the graces of the Christian. Now, if many of the things I've said also apply to other graces, that's no coincidence. All of the graces communicated to us from our Heavenly Father through and because of Christ by the Holy Spirit, all of those graces of God promote together the health of our souls, the glory of Christ Jesus, and the good of his blood-bought church. And so we preach with a fervor about these things. And when we're speaking of the glory of God, of his honor, including when we speak of his word, we feel a great fervor, a great fervency. Should it be any other way? I don't think so. As for me, I can't help it. I can't say I want to have it any other way. Now, those who are in Christ have endless cause for thanksgiving and for being thankful. Perhaps if we're not so thankful as we ought to be, we need to meditate on such passages as Ephesians chapter 1. We could begin with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we could go on from there. Is there a cause for rejoicing for the Christian, the spiritual man who discerns these things by the Spirit as a reality in his heart and in his life? We could maybe turn back to Colossians right here, chapter 1. We could begin in verse, let's begin in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it goes on to speak of our Lord. Maybe we could ponder that if we're not feeling as thankful as we ought to be feeling. Or maybe we could go to Romans chapter 8, that tremendous passage that starts with, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes." Or maybe if we would just meditate on this from 1 John 1, verse 7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Is that not a cause for great thankfulness right there? When we think of the corruption of sin, the effect of sin, the condemnation of sin, the fruit of sin, when we think of those who will be in hell for all eternity, suffering the torments they earned by their sin, and yet us, who are in Christ, God mercifully called us and saved us and delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He puts the sin out of his sight forever. Do we not have cause to be thankful there? Maybe we should consider our sin then a little bit more. Maybe we should review that. Maybe that would do us some good too. There were 10 lepers whom Jesus healed. Do you remember them? Now, leprosy, as treated under the ceremonial law, is also a figure of sin. How sin clings to men, how it corrupts them, how it eats them up and destroys the whole man. How it controls them and claims them. And 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked to be healed, cried out for mercy. He had mercy. And then what happened? Well, 9 of them went their way without a word of thanks. And one of them, I'm reading from Luke 17, 15 through 19, "When he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Where are the 9? Where are the 9? They were cleansed. We've been cleansed, cleansed of sin, purged of the corrupting sin of our past days, purged from the dominion of sin, freed from it, been cleansed within, sanctified within, freed from this condemnation, corruption of sin. Do we give God thanks? Are we thankful? You see what it says? "There are not found that return to give glory to God." We take away from the glory that's due to him when we don't thank him for this. "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." From all sin. Are we grateful? Are we truly grateful? Are we like the 9 that walk away? Occasionally we might, thank you very much for that. But do we have hearts that are filled with thanksgiving and praise? And be ye thankful, the faithful Christians thankful. And it's to the health of our souls, the peace of our hearts, the glory of the Lord, and the good of his church to be thankful. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. The health of our souls, the peace of our hearts, the glory of the Lord, and the good of his church. And that's the same reasons why I preach this message.